is open up and bleed. This is going to be a very fast. We're going to be speaking hyper speed, double speed, triple time here on Open Up and Bleed. I'm your host, Eugene, and of course, as always, this week, not as always, but this week it's unique, but as always, we have a very special guest. Special guest, will you introduce yourself?
Hey, what's up? My name is Sinai.
And I'm excited, I gotta say, I'm very excited to have you on the show this week, Sinai, because I had no idea how to properly pronounce your name. And because I use this show as an opportunity to hang out and talk with people that I don't generally get to see or hang out with. This is extra special because we've never even hung out before. We've never even met before. We ran into each other. We couldn't even talk. And now we have 30 minutes. A compressed period of time. Well, let's just hope Eric, the next DJ, is late like we were.
Yeah, I think so.
And we were late because you got caught up in train jam.
Someone got smashed by a train.
Someone got smashed.
Yeah, we shut the train down.
I mean, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think someone is dead?
I think so, yeah. I saw it yesterday. It was like a crime scene.
A crime scene. Do you think it was the train's fault or the
person? No, it's never the train's fault. To be fair, it's never the train's fault.
It's always the person.
It's always the person. I can beat it.
I can beat the train.
But the thing
is already down.
Yeah.
Like, I can go under the thing and beat it.
What it is is that someone, because it's the light rail, you know, just to talk about how the metro, a lot of specifically the blue line is above ground, so when it passes through streets that people are using, so because of that, you know, there's not necessarily a barrier that comes down, so it's actually moving.
You have to be paying attention.
Right, exactly.
Potentially, the person who's dead, may their soul rest in peace or whatever, they might have been on their IG.
Right, it does work possibly. And it happens a lot, actually. It's a dead.
They might have been
up to every sign. Which one is it?
You. And that's the one that you take all the time. Yeah, every day. You don't have a car because you're climate conscious.
Yes.
And that's very cool. And you're supporting Sanders.
Okay.
No, you hate politics.
No. I went to school for politics.
But you did?
Yeah, I'm not thinking. Oh, can I?
No, please, you're not fucking with Bernie. Are you fucking with any of the politicians?
With Trump.
With Trump.
Yeah, Trump.
You fuck with him or you fuck for him?
Not for him, because he's not paying me yet, so...
Okay, you like Trump because Trump speaks what's on his mind.
I like him because he's a modern-day fascist.
Yeah.
And I think that fascism is very boring movement within America, but it's never risen to the top as much as it has in this 2016 presidential race.
Or if you go back 60 to 70 years, that's been around.
Actually, it's been around.
After World War II, it obviously became kind of unfashionable. But if you look at, I know statistically speaking, Long Island, which is not like the South, in the 1920s and 30s, 7 out of 11 people who lived on Long Island were members of the Ku Klux Klan.
Really?
Yeah, and that essentially, when that moves north, that is more or less a fascist ideology.
That's
right?
True. And this is, I guess I can see that with the National Archives being in Indiana, but reasons.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Indiana?
Yeah.
I've been there once.
Yeah, I've been there once too. I went cold, like during Christmas time. It's cold. I went to Bloomington, but originally it was a small town. I don't even remember what it was called.
I was in
Gary, Indiana. Some statistics call that the murder capital of America.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
I'm going into it.
Any anywhere at the West Bank.
Yeah.
You know, types of
for sure.
Cities like kind of the Detroit, Cleveland, you know, want to get that.
Yeah, I think because Gary is like a conduit to Chicago, something about it being like a major drug way station or something.
Well, it's like one of those cities. It's kind of like the drawback to Connecticut. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like one of those cities that you go run to. Like, when I was in Connecticut,
you go on the run, like on the land. You know where they used to go in New York, like 150 years ago? Coney Island. Like, that's where all the criminals went. Like, you killed a dude, you got to lay low for a few months, go to South Brooklyn.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, it's a fire.
Back then?
Oh, it's rough. Even now, it's still fire. I think it's...
Well, that's where my grandparents are. So when I go to New York, I, like, take the train for, like, an hour and 15 minutes to go down and see my grandparents. Sounds rather rough. Let me take it back to Trumpkin for a second.
Okay.
To your boy, Trumpkin. Yesterday, 2 days ago, yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, there was a Black Lives Matter protester at the Trump rally, and he was probably saying Black Lives Matter or something along those lines, and a lot of these Trump fans, like you, got up in his face, and started kicking him, and, you know, kind of beat him up a little bit, and then picked him up, and then the security threw him out. And then your boy Trump, he got arrested? I think the police, the comment from the police chief, I was just in Birmingham, and, you know, it's a very historical, very segregated city. I didn't feel that vibe. I was with pretty enlightened people, you know, who had concern about the, like...
Those are worse people.
No, they're sensitive people, and they feel great shame, I think, about, like, what history was.
Are they Southerners?
Yeah, they're Southerners. Yeah, they're locals. You know, there are people there who just, like, are ashamed about what that city was and trying to change it.
So they're blaming you with their shame.
Yeah, they're like, here on the show, I always grill my guests. We've had several black guests, but I always grill them at their white privilege. Yeah. But how do you feel about your white privilege?
I wish I had it. Every time I see a homeless person, I think about it. I'm like, man, that's a waste of skin.
Yeah. But whenever you see a homeless person, do you ever think, like, oh, damn, I hope I don't go there?
No, I don't
ever. You never feel like
it's not possible.
You don't think that's possible.
I would kill someone
to avoid that from happening.
I think, like, that's not even like, the worst thing I would do. But I just want to say that my adherence to any kind of criminal code or terms of law has nothing to do with my belief in it. It's just... It's the most beneficial for me.
I don't fully understand what you're saying. I'm saying your decision making is above legal morality.
I'm not following it in the sense of, like, I think this is a just law. I just do it because at this point in my life, it just seems like the most beneficial thing for me to do. But if there's a moment in my life who's like, yo, I need to rob people or possibly kill people, I already have necessarily, you know.
But you don't let the law stop you.
No, nobody can.
Yeah, but your own moral sense of right and wrong might stop you.
If
you need to survive. Just slip back one more time. So how do you reconcile yourself with the fact that basically the ideology, I think, of a lot of Trump supporters, I'm not going to go out and say it's Trump's, but you're also familiar with this. So his comment was like, well, that man was causing problems, so he probably deserved to be beaten up.
Roughing up, sure.
And, you know, also the other day he tweeted, like, these false stats.
I thought there was
most of our people know that, like, most crime stays within, like, ethnic groups. The main fact there that was obviously, like, super race baiting was that 80% of black people are killed by white people. 80% of white people are killed by black people. That's not like Trump making some joke. You know, that's Trump seeing this like, oh, we gotta put this out. This
I mean, to be fair, that's been something. Okay, because he's not the establishment person, right? That's
real. He's fair. Not the establishment person.
But I want to say, a lot of his methods and a lot of his politician, his political arena in this race, a lot of people are kind of like stepping on to us, but let's not forget that Reagan, when he was going against Dukakis, they had like the Ronald Reagan thing. He was like this random black prisoner, you know, who was part of a random photo program that was in over 22 states. You know, he unfortunately ran out of photo. You know, killed some people. And, you know, that's like one, unfortunately, that's a bad thing that happened, but that's one example in the midst of hundreds of other rehabilitated prisoners who did this, you know, maybe they didn't
right.
Know. But that was something that was used throughout the election.
Trump tried to do that recently, too, right, because there was that illegal immigrant in San Francisco, yeah. From Mexico, who killed a girl.
Yeah. And they have been. That's all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's he's like exponentially worse than any politician.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that how do you why do you say you support him?
I'm not voting for him.
Yeah,
I just support him in the sense of his presence within this.
Yeah, you just like observing him. You think it is interesting the fact that he's a provocateur.
I give him credit. I think he's more than a provocative. I think he's legitimate. I think he is the face of what is already far right in America. And he's a New Yorker, so which is very interesting.
Yeah.
There's not this so much of a presence of Republicans like that.
Yeah, yeah. Urbanites.
Yeah.
Coastal.
I think people like that mean it. It's I thought it was brilliant. The tweet was like a black gang bullying.
Yeah.
What I see when I see people react negatively to it, obviously, clearly, it's not the right thing to do, or it's not politically correct to do. I think the issue with me is, I'm like, don't you know that's all they all think anyway?
That's what I'm saying. There's value to the idea that he's very explicit and, like, naked in his hatery, you know, in his hate. But don't you think it's just dumb that he's putting out this information that's so explicit and statistical wrong?
No.
You're okay with that.
Yeah.
You're okay with misinformation.
I mean, I am going to travel with misinformation.
Right, exactly. Because you believe that most information that people in America around the world consume as fact is misinformation,
yeah.
Just veiled in a slightly more better way than the 80% wrong.
Like, the perfect example would be today, like the Russian plane that got shot down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Russian rescue helicopter that also got shot down.
Yeah.
After it was shot down by TWR missile, which are U.S. manufactured missiles. So it wasn't like, how did they get the missiles? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was clearly from a previous arms drop that we probably gave to a liberal, you know, resistance.
Yeah, we probably gave it to a resistance group that we thought was going to fight Assad as proxy for us or whatever. But where is the misinformation?
The misinformation is that it was, at least on the Russian side, that they're saying that the Turkish people shot down the rescue plane, the rescue helicopter.
Yeah, I don't know about the rescue helicopter. I don't know about the first plane.
Yeah, the Russians are saying that the Turks shot us down.
They was a Syrian group, right? Yeah.
Because they're saying that this is a NATO member trying to...
There's a guy I talked today about World War III going,
it's not going to happen.
Probably not.
I don't know what happened.
Capitalism won't let it happen.
Exactly. Capitalism won't let it happen.
And also, this is what's good. Like, everybody buying arms, everyone, like, kind of just fighting for, like, this oil and, like, making sure we feed the, like, military-industrial complex. But an actual war would grind down a lot of the, like, capitalist tools and economic measures that it needs to keep going.
Right. Long-standing.
Yeah. It would, like, a world war would fuck up the modes of consumption that we currently have in a way that's not beneficial to the overlord.
Yeah, that never happened. to the extent of the nurse to anyone who becomes...
Well, the only way it could happen is if someone used, like, a nuclear weapon or something.
I don't think so. I think the collective Western world would destroy it.
Yeah, they're all there together.
I don't think it would be like there's no access or like any kind of global alliances to the extent everything that we get. I mean,
you know, the idea that Russia and Iran and Assad are all on the same side is something, but it's not like they are.
This is economic. I think at any point, if a president, which also made a name for Congress, his political party, was, you know, for an 8-year term, conciliatory towards Iran, we could easily shift the time. But then I also want to give up some of my name, like, the Arabs.
Yeah, that's a whole kerfuffle. Or a quagmire. Or a fucked up situation.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, our alliance. There was a good article, I thought, in New York Times recently, where it was an op-ed, and it was like, Saudi Arabia is ISIS that has won.
But I said that.
That was the the ideology of Saudi Arabia is not entirely different, and their methodology is not very different than ISIS. Right. They found a way to, like, legitimize themselves in the capitalist structure.
Right.
They're not fighting now. For now.
Right.
And so they're funneling money into that, and they're part of it. So, you know, basically, we prop them up, even though they're as evil or essentially the same ideology.
I mean, that the only thing I ever wrote during the time of... Not to get into it.
Get into it.
Okay. As I said, the only thing I wrote about in relation to the whole Paris thing was that I said, which American airline provided the funding for this to happen?
Yeah.
And that's reality. You know, it's like, what about some fools in Qatar or Kuwait or Saudi Arabia? Or the financial benefactors of the attack on Paris as well as in Beirut and as well as in Baghdad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you sleep with the enemy, you catch whatever they get.
Okay, so we're talking about very, very macro things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, like, a micro thing.
Okay.
Okay. Do you sleep with the enemy?
Who's the enemy?
Who is your enemy?
The white people?
I don't know. You tell me. Do you think the world is against you, more or less?
The world? No.
Okay.
No, I've been outside this country, so I don't think that. But I think certain cultures are.
Yeah. Okay. I think the world is against everybody. Anybody who has a brain, anybody who wants to do something that's not exactly the same and doesn't feed whatever the machine, not to get too conspiratorial here, the world is against you.
Okay.
It don't want to accept you, and it doesn't want to let you do what it is you do if it's problematic.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was like, you know, camouflage.
Yeah, you're wearing camouflage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What was the name of the room?
You gotta know how to camouflage. Well, okay. Do you feel like you do the thing that's called code switching?
Definitely.
Yeah. Are you doing it right now on this show?
Right.
You're being yourself.
For the most part, yeah.
Do you do it, if you were at a rap concert, would you do it a different way?
Code switching a different way? No, like in terms of like being like blacker?
I don't know.
No.
Okay. Because you're being fully yourself right now.
Right.
How your identity you feel like is transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you wouldn't get blacker.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it means either.
No.
So in what circumstance do you have to code switch?
Just really like
money. Money. What do you do? What do you have to...
Because these are not rumors, right?
Exactly. Verbal signals. We all change our signifiers to a certain extent, especially when money's involved, especially when older people involved.
Yeah, older people too. I don't know, it's probably a past generation.
No, I'm saying there's all these different, like, Venn diagram overlaps.
Okay.
Like, for family or whatever, I have to behave slightly differently.
Yeah.
You know, it's, whatever, no shade to family.
Yeah.
So, okay, look, let's say you have a job or a gig or something tomorrow. What is that? And how do you have to change yourself?
So, like, I'm going to go back tomorrow into the office.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick some new deals. I might take some of the bass out of my voice. Yeah, definitely. And I might, you know, I don't know. There's a different vocabulary that I probably use. You know, I mean, more comfortable. Definitely probably using slang.
Right. But what if you know that they're looking for a little bit of street, a little bit of, you know, they want to
exactly.
You don't do that.
No, that's, yeah. I think that's corny. I don't place myself in situations like that.
It's like, what if you're trying to pitch for money?
There's a certain amount of money that's, in relation to money, there's things that I would not do.
But you might kill for money, is what you said earlier.
Yeah, I did say that. Yeah. I said that if I felt like that's where
you were on the edge.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with doing that. Yeah. That's what I said. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, interactions that I have to have in regards to money, no, I don't do that. Like, I always have a problem, but whenever I see, like, black people, Asian people.
Yeah,
I see them complaining, like,
I work, these girls in my job are racist, or like,
I shouldn't say that, but like, people complain about the situations around them being negative towards them. They're like, why are you around those people? I don't personally surround people within my friend group, within my personal life. I'm not around those types of people.
Me neither. That's why I always find it very shocking. Like, one thing that always shocks me is how blatantly, one thing I really don't understand is, like, just casual misogyny. Even though potentially I could see myself in situations where inadvertently I am acting misogynistic or taking advantage or something.
Sure.
Whatever. Well, it just inevitably can happen because of misinformation.
And also, identifying as a man.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Whatever. There are situations where everyone gets into, right? Not gonna lie. But, like, catcalling is something that just seems like weird to me, and then to see it as like this big thing, I'm always like, that's not real, but then it's so real.
Yeah.
Like, literally, people just catcall all the time, like,
they do.
Yeah, and like,
you ever try to talk to a woman on the street?
I have, like, on a train, or like, you know, or like, maybe at a cafe or something, or like on the street, but not like that.
No, not like that.
Like, there's a different way to go about it that's like cool and like not creepy, you know, and just like human or something. Wow, Greg's here, wow. He knew. They must be back for Thanksgiving. Hey, you guys gotta give us some time. Because I feel like we're in this like weird part, but like, we're in a good part.
We are.
But I just wish we had like another hour or something.
Maybe we can convince them to do this show with us.
Yeah, I think we just all talk, because Greg and Eric, they're interesting guys.
Okay.
So I was going to say, so then how do you feel, keeping in mind that you think it's kind of like whack for people to put themselves in situations where they ultimately end up complaining about how racist? What about all the stuff that's going on college campuses right now, where people are protesting the fact that colleges, right, are not...
I think that's whack, too.
You think it's whack?
Yeah.
You do, right?
I'm gonna tell you what.
Tell me.
Because these people don't value black institutions.
Right.
If you
work with black,
exactly.
Black colleges,
If you really worship in whiteness so much, in white culture, you go be around your people. And you don't have to worry about your teacher making inappropriate comments.
Or inadvertently inappropriate.
Yeah, no, explicitly on purpose. Yeah, like, explicitly.
Do teachers do explicitly?
Anybody who identifies as a white person.
Uh-huh. Explicitly?
Yeah.
True. But what do you mean by identifies as a white person? Anyone who is a white person?
Identifies as a white person. If that's really white.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that is.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm talking about.
How do you identify?
I identify as African.
African.
Yeah.
Can we get to that in a few minutes?
Sure.
You're going to Africa, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about that. That's
sure.
Cool. One thing that's... we'll get to it in a second. Did you... Where did you go to school?
What school language?
Oh, like college, I guess.
I went to like some college.
Uh-huh.
I took some classes along the state.
But you study politics.
Yeah, it's political science major.
But you consider yourself kind of like an autodidact, right?
Like self.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Everything. Things you know.
I never learned anything in school. The only thing I learned.
Even in high school?
Yeah. I was in high school.
Did you ever have a bunch of
years? But yeah, my current writing teacher.
And that was a good teacher, right?
Mr. Green.
You connected with him.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's meaningful, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't you feel like it's disgusting the way teachers are treated in America, like public school teachers? I think it sucks.
Really? Pay-wise, or what you mean?
Pay-wise.
Yeah.
Don't you think if those are better-paying jobs, more people who are talented and care would do them?
No.
No. You just think that the same people would vote for it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's 40K, 60K, you think there would be scummier people going to vote with 90K. Mm-hmm. So, okay, but you do agree that the people who are currently there, who are going to do it no matter what, probably should be paid more.
No.
Just the good ones.
I think it should be, I personally don't care about being anti-union, but I have to say, I don't think everyone should pay the same amount.
Yeah, you should. You know, it should be performance-based.
Yeah, I went to a school in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
J.K. Robinson.
Got it.
Predominantly black at the time. And
what was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah, 10, 15 years ago. And the school that I went to, I was in an elementary school, and they were teaching people their ABCs. Versus before I went to that school, I used to go to Catholic school, ran by Carmelite nuns. And it was like, just like the couple years I was there, when I went to the public school,
right.
So
did you skip?
I got skipped out and I went to a different school. Because at the time, I was living in Bensington, the suburbs, the school.
What's the suburbs of Long Beach? Like where?
Like where?
Yeah.
Like around Saratoga.
It's nicer.
It's way nicer.
Mm-hmm. And then you end up going to middle school there?
Yeah, because I got into high school? And then I got to go to high school because I went to middle school. They don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Was it weird that, so you had friends in high school?
Yeah.
But they didn't really live in your neighborhood. Did you not really get to hang out with them, or you did?
I had to make an effort.
So that gave you probably a lot of time to, read and do shit on your own. I don't know. I think a lot of people who are alienated in high school or aren't in a situation where it's easy to just, casually hang out with people they like and make more time for themselves to, learn shit on their own. That's how they become smart. Yeah, you are?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was, too.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define the fact that you were a child prodigy? What's the empirical evidence?
When I was in second grade, I was running a bank robbery.
Yeah.
I completely tested, I wasn't a gifted prodigy.
Yeah.
I completely tested,
did that alienate you from people who were your age?
People in my neighborhood, but not the school I went to.
Did you find people in your neighborhood who eventually thought that it was cool that you're a child prodigy genius?
More in the sense of to take advantage.
They wanted to take advantage of you.
Yeah. But it was okay because I wanted them to.
Because in a way that was advantageous to you. But it was leverage.
It was leverage. I wanted to be a leverage role.
Yeah. Were you good at making cracks and snaps?
Jokes?
Yeah. Because you were pretty witty. You could hang with kind of dudes who might not respect the fact that you're smart, but you would respect the fact that you were good at
I was always jokes too.
You were good at sport.
Yeah,
probably gave you credit.
Yeah, so I was sport. But it's very interesting because you're very good at something, but you're a jock.
A jock. I can imagine what a white jock is like. And a black jock. I guess I could too, but you tell me. I feel like you see the distinction.
I feel like I think white jocks are very relegated towards football and baseball. So sports ones.
Yeah.
Difference.
Right.
But also, I don't know. I feel white jocks are the coolest people within high school culture.
Okay, yeah, I don't necessarily
think it's the same in black teen
culture. Who's coolest in the black teen culture?
Gangster.
Okay, gangster.
Gangbanger, being like a drug dealer.
I was gonna say like a rapper, but
yeah, I was gonna say that.
Maybe rappers a little bit of an outcast because they're
it depends on what time you're
talking about. The top is
like a
gangbanger or something like that. Why do you just because they're
because dangerous is sexy.
Money or
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're popular.
They're popular because they can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a jock, white jock can too.
That's like
not me.
Not you.
In the white high school environment, part of the reason the jocks are getting
because
mob mentality. It's like, it's not just me. It's the whole fucking football team. Little bitch.
Exactly. That's why I'm like the perfect police officers when you go.
Oh my god. Yeah, trigger happy. And I guess that's why the gang members make the perfect gang member when they come in. I thought that movie, the end of the movie, was terrible. Did you like it?
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it. I just thought it wasn't for me.
As a filmmaker, I just thought for most of it is bad filmmaking. The acting was poor.
I thought the first 10 minutes was great.
I thought the first 30 minutes was
great. Okay, yeah. Like that opening sentence and
the tank and on the bus. Yeah, all that stuff was great.
Right.
Then it went to just like lifetime movie melodrama on an acting level, on a writing level, and on just a filmmaking level.
See, I feel like they should have milked it and try to make a solo out of it.
They could have.
And then made a solo.
Yeah, I think they lost an attention to detail. Like, they got very repetitive, though. You see, you couldn't really... It should have been, 20 minutes shorter.
That's what I mean. Like, they were trying to fit too much.
Exactly. They're trying to fit too much, but it wasn't detail-oriented. Like, they skipped too much stuff. You don't care anymore. It gets muddled.
Yeah.
Let me invite these guys in and see what's up.
Yeah.
But you say so. You have 2 minutes of mic.
Okay.
We got here really late.
Very late. Yeah. So... Let me try to see if I can coax these fools into giving me some time. I didn't say anything, dude. That's okay. It's been fine. I'm not trying to come over here.
What are you saying?
Okay, they're giving us 10 minutes.
They're
not going to join us because this is their 4-year anniversary. They have to like circle jerk and they have to like sit down.
Sound awful. Sound awful.
What is that?
That's when you and a group of men come on the waffle.
Oh, come on the waffle.
That's when I used to eat
it. Oh, damn. Who the last person to come?
Awesome.
Oh, man. I've never done that sort of thing. These sort of circle jerks. And have you done that?
No.
Have you ever been in like a position where I guess I could suck a dick right now? Have you ever like had that thought, or have you been like I guess if this guy got naked, I wouldn't take it from him, but I'd give it to him. Yeah, me neither.
It would be good. It would be okay.
One time, when I was a teen, I was making movies on this shitty little camera, and I shot something in my friend's basement, and I borrowed a light from another guy, the Home Depot light, you know, it's all the balling and things. And I left it in my friend's basement, and I said, oh, I'm gonna go back and pick it up, you know? So I went back unannounced, you know, a little bit before like, cell phones were like, and I went in, and I was like, I'm home, like, really home, and like, I didn't hear anything. I was like, oh, I just go down to the basement, the door was open. I walked in. Her stepdad, six other dudes, pillows on their laps. They are circle jerking and they were covering their penises.
Because
they heard me, but I was like, you know, in there. You know, and then I turned around, saw a TV, big TV, you know, those TVs before flat screens, so just deep and big.
Mm-hmm.
I call them Megatron TV. I'm like, porn, reading,
is gay porn?
Those chicks. It wasn't see, that's what I'm saying. They weren't in, like, a gay thing. They were just, like, all enjoying hetero, highly hetero, like, porn together. Jack out. It seems very homo to me.
No more about it.
Yeah,
this is interesting.
Yeah, and then I was like, I'm going to come back for my light later. You know, I don't need that. You know, I was like, I'm going to go.
You still in a relationship with that person?
You know, it's weird. I showed a movie in New York at one screening, and I hadn't talked to this girl in years. She randomly showed up.
We haven't talked to her since that happened?
No, more like in a year. Okay. I didn't stay friends.
You ever say anything to her?
I said it to her on the screen and I said, oh damn, I can only imagine your stepdad and his friends watching my movie and laughing. And then she was like, what? And I was like, that happened. And she was like, oh, no. It's funny.
Well, it's hilarious.
Look, if she doesn't know at this point that her stepdad is a creep, then, like, wake up call. And also, like, who cares? Like, I'm an adult. I know my parents are fucking, or maybe they're not fucking. That's their own problem. You know?
My parents is.
They're fucking. My parents are divorced. I'm just saying, like, I was mad at my mom for cheating on my dad when I was 12, when it happened. Mm-hmm. She ruined the family, blah, blah, blah. Then you become an adult, like, 19 years old. Some people take them 40 years to become an adult. When I was 19, I realized, like, everybody does something for a reason. Everyone has a good reason for them to do it. And no one is, like, evil. Like, evil is, like this stupid overuse thing. Everyone's got a reason to do shit. And if you don't get that, you're not an adult.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, you know, your dad and his buddies do a circle jerk. Who cares? Okay, you're going to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a few things.
I'm flying into Cairo. Cause
when are you going?
December 31st.
Okay.
I'm flying
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. I'm flying into Cairo because my family's from Eritrea.
Uh-huh.
And it's, for whatever reason, it's on the state sponsor of terrorism list. Uh-huh. So I can't fly.
You can't fly in there. It's a small country. It's and is there a civil war there? Why is it on state-sponsored terrorism list?
Is
a Muslim-majority country?
I would say it's equal.
Uh-huh.
50-50.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Muslim.
Well, your family is from there, like, 50 years ago, 30 years ago?
It's
like your parents immigrated from there?
No, my family. My pops came in the 80s from Ethiopia.
He
used to be born in Ethiopia.
Right.
My brother was born in Ethiopia. He wasn't born in Eritrea.
Right.
But then he moved to that area. No, he was born straight from Ethiopia.
Oh.
And he's only been in Eritrea twice as a kid.
So he's ethnically Eritrean, but then he was born in Ethiopia.
No.
Got it. And he speaks what, Ethiopian?
Ethiopian, the chief language, I always say, is the Ethiopian language, is Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chief language, like, the only
high level is Tigrayan. And which does he speak both?
He speaks both.
Do you speak Arabic?
I know more Aramaic than I know Tigrayan. I don't know how
to go to Egypt, and you need to go to Eritrea, and you need to go to Ethiopia.
You can't go to Ethiopia.
Why?
You can only go to one of them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
If they see Eritrea in your passport, it's like you're not.
And it's also demilitarized zone.
Oh, yeah. It's like North Korea, South Korea.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
It's like 50 miles of lines.
Yeah.
You posted about, you're trying to raise money.
Yeah, I got money.
You got it, but you're trying to raise money.
What I'm trying to do with the thing you're referencing, the GoFundMe, is I'm using that because I'm going to write, and I'm going to take photos to accompany the writing.
Yeah.
But also, I'm buying, nice amounts of water filters to take with me.
It's a humanistic and humanitarian
endeavor. It's both.
Because I was going to say, you wrote about Ibn Battuta, which is a famous traveler in the African and Dar-Islam world. You could write something like that.
Yeah, you should.
I want that. Someone should write something as intimate and epic like that.
This is a test drive.
This is a test drive, that's right.
So
how long are you going to be there? For 3 weeks?
No, 3 months.
3 months? Mm. Oh, damn.
I'm going to be traveling. I don't write about it on the internet because I don't want the current. I want to get some type of attention when it flying. But I'm going to go to Egypt.
Mm. Don't worry, no one's listening except for the FBI.
Perfect. Egypt, Jerusalem, Northern Sudan, Muslim and Saudi Arabia, and the Pyramid.
Okay, so it's mostly East Africa and the Middle East. Got it. It's not Sub-Saharan.
Mm-hmm.
But that is kind of a Abe and Batuta's territory. That's what you just said. His world.
That's why I went from Zuma.
Well, unfortunately, maybe we can even do this again before you go.
I'll come next week.
Next week I'm gone.
Okay.
I'll come the week after.
Yeah. I'll be in LA.
Because I feel like, not to use a trigger warning word, but I feel like this is being kind of an aborted version. I mean, this is a sort of a...
You don't want this, baby.
I like it. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. We're having a good time. Yeah. Okay, let's play the game we always play. I'm going to give you three numbers. Pick a number.
Okay.
No, I'm going to give you choice.
Oh, okay.
And now I won't pick eight because I know you like eight or something. Six, nine, or 40? Okay. 9 months from now, what is the perfect world for you? What is happening in your world that feels good?
9 months from now?
Yeah. I'm talking about basically August.
That's my mom's birthday.
Okay.
So,
how old is she turning?
52.
Okay, cool. How old are you?
25.
Uh-huh.
I'm at the point where it's kind of wrong.
Cruises? That's nice.
Yeah.
You love your mom.
Right.
Who love more, your mom or your dad?
Your mom.
Yeah. Did she raise you?
Right.
Like, single?
Yeah.
Mom?
Yeah. I'm going to sit around and like it.
What's her name?
Stacy. Yeah.
So this is basically a shout out. And because you were very selfless, you didn't even say where. So if you can put on Karma Cruise, then your life is good.
Right.
You're not even really worried about where you're at. You're always good. All right. Well, with that, we're gonna leave you. Thanks for tuning in, whoever the hell you are out there. Thanks for coming on the show.
Sure.
And I really do hope that you come back before you leave for. Warmer climes,
More
beautiful shores,
The summer, we can't walk around the shores.
It's equatorial there.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little above.
There's gotta be some place where you can walk around the shores.
No, I mean, you can't at the beach, but
Jerusalem.
You can't walk around the city like that. Jerusalem, we can run.
Yeah, you could run. Straight up?
Yeah, well, that's Jerusalem,
Okay, next up is Wow Strip Mall with Eric, and I haven't heard his name in a while because I often tell you guys that he died in a crash. Greg! Welcome back, Greg. Are you excited to be here?
Yes, very excited.
And tune in next week don't tune in next week because I'll have a sub, but tune in 2 weeks from now to open up and Blues Kitchen Radio. Bye!